Frank Ricci was probably the most famous baseball owner of our generation, of the last one, too. Branch Rickey was owner of the Dodgers. Branch Rickey, though he owned the Dodgers, never went to a Sunday baseball game in all of his life. Now, he had a team that played on Sunday, but Branch Rickey never went to a Sunday baseball game until his death. He lived to be an old man. Somebody asked him one time, "Mr. Rickey, why don't you go to the ballpark on Sunday since you own the team?" Mr. Rickey said, "When my mother was dying on her deathbed, she asked me to make a promise to her. She made me promise, and I made that promise to her that I would never go to a ball game or play ball on Sunday." And he said, "I've kept that promise." A while ago, we were talking in the study. I said, fella, just what is Sunday? And Dr. Evans, being very wise, said, "I'll tell you after a while. I'm going to find out in a few minutes." He said, but I still remember when my dad, I got home from a boy's house, and my dad found out on Sunday afternoon I'd played checkers. And he said, "I still remember how it broke my dad's heart when I played checkers on Sunday." You know, I can't prove to you or to you with the Bible it's wrong to play checkers on Sunday. But I'll tell you what, back when America had some convictions, even though they were a little bit too straight maybe, this was a lot better country. Mr. Lively said that his parents, I think it's Domino's, you said. What?
Dad's parents.
The Domino's, wasn't it? They were shocked. His grandparents were shocked when he played dominoes on Sunday. And I'll bind you one thing. You're looking at a fella. If I'd ever taken a baseball bat and hit a ball on a Sunday, you would not have me as your pastor tonight. I'd have been in the glory land a long time ago by way of Mama's version of the electric chair. Now, in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day, he rested. When God gave his Ten Commandments, one of those Ten Commandments said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." When the Jews left the land of Egypt and started toward the Promised Land, God told them that the seventh day was sacred. It was a memorial of their deliverance from the land of Egypt. They could not work on the Sabbath. Now please listen, because I really want you to hear this tonight. They could not work on the Sabbath day. They could not build a fire in their houses on the Sabbath day. They could not as much as go outside and pick up a stick on the Sabbath day. And if they did work, now get this, if they did work, and if they did pick up sticks, if they did build a fire on the Sabbath day, it was punishable by death. I mean, it was capital punishment. Well, you just don't see that. You don't have to see. Well, aren't you glad that you can't understand your God? Aren't you glad that you have a God that's so high above you that you can't figure out why he did what he did or does what he does? That's one of the troubles nowadays. We become wise in our own minds, and we sit in judgment on God, and anything that God says that we can understand, we believe it, and if we don't understand it, we don't believe it. If it makes sense to us, we accept it. If it doesn't make sense to us, we don't accept it. And the truth is, when you say, "I'll read it in the Bible, what I agree with, can understand, what makes sense to me, I'll believe, what doesn't make sense to me, I won't believe," you become your own God, you write your own Bible, and you put yourself up as idolizing or making an idol out of your own mind. It's idolatry. And I'll be honest with you, I got more respect for the Hottentot that makes an idol out of a piece of wood. Because a piece of wood has more sense than the brains don't believe God. A piece of wood can't get drunk. Mr. Carter said, and I many things about Mr. Carter I like. I mean it. Mr. Carter said, I believe the Bible's the Word of God, but not that part about the woman, you see. Being in subjection. And I believe Mr. Reagan said, we're going to have 1983 is the year of the Bible. But it'd be a pretty good time then to take that woman off Supreme Court. I mean, is it a year of believing the Bible or a year of honoring the Bible? Is it a year of looking at it or a year of obeying it? You see? Now, the truth is, this, that God said that if a person picks up stick on the Sabbath day, he'll be killed. It's capital punishment. Now, personally, if I'd been God, I wouldn't have done that. And I have a hard time understanding why a person pick up a stick on the Sabbath day, or build a fire in his house on the Sabbath day, or do some work on the Sabbath. And by the way, the animals couldn't even, I mean, the mule couldn't work on the Sabbath either. And the beast of burden couldn't work on the Sabbath either. I'll tell you why after a while. But I'm saying I can't comprehend that. Why God would actually have punishable by capital punishment picking up a stick on the Sabbath day. I can understand it. But I don't have, like I said this morning, I don't have to understand it. I believe it because I happen to believe this book. And I don't think God makes any mistakes, and so I think it was okay. Now, I can't see it. My reasoning, and my I don't mean now that I'm cultured necessarily, or a highbrow, but my degree of culture and whatever degree of refinement I have, that pricks my refinement some, but I'll just let my refinement get pricked because I believe this book is the Word of God. I don't think God ever made a mistake. I don't think God ever had to say, I'm sorry. I don't think God ever had to say, uh-oh. I don't think God ever had to say, I goof. I think everything that God has done is always right. I am the Lord thy God. I change not, he said. Now, also, there was a certain number of feet, yards, or a certain journey called the Sabbath day's journey. Now, on the Sabbath day, which started, by the way, at 6 o'clock on our Friday night and ended at 6 o'clock on our Saturday night, because the Bible, the evening came first. The Bible said that the evening and the morning were the first day. We'd have said the morning and the evening were the first day, but in God's economy, the evening and the morning were the first day, and not the morning and evening. Now, so, nobody could travel over what they called a Sabbath day's journey. Now, what was a Sabbath day's journey? It was not any certain number of feet, yards, or miles. A Sabbath day's journey was believed to be the distance between the Mount of Olives and the wall around the city of Jerusalem. Now, as the crow flies, that's about a half a mile. But as you walk or ride a beast, then that's a winding road. It's more than a half a mile. So something between a half mile and a mile, that was as far as anybody could walk on the Sabbath day. Not only that, there was what was called a sabbatical year. 6 years, the Jews would harvest the crop. On the seventh year, they wouldn't plant. The only thing they harvested was that which grew by nature without any seed that they planted. And that was every seventh year, and that was to be given to the poor and the stranger within the land. Now, that seventh year was called the land sabbatical, which means that God said, I want the land to rest 1 year out of seven. Now, I'm going to get to that again after a while. Isaiah vehemently renounced Sabbath breaking. Ezekiel warned in Babylon while they're in captivity, away from the land, away from their homes, away from Palestine, away from the temple. Ezekiel vehemently warned against the crime of breaking the Sabbath day. In fact, the reason they went to Babylon, the consuming reason that God sent them for 70 years to Babylon, was because for 490 years, they had not obeyed the Sabbath. And God said, okay, I'm going to get my day. I'm going to get them all at one time. My people have forgotten to obey
the Sabbath for 490 years. God said, I'll get one seventh of that all in one swoop. And God sent them to Babylon and left them there for 70 years. God collecting his Sabbath all at one time. And I want to say this tonight. Brother, every person in this house tithes. God is going to get what's his. There's not one person in this room tonight but what doesn't tithe. Either you write a check or put it in the envelope and give it to your church and tithe, or God will more than collect it in other ways. I mean, you're not going to get by without tithing. I don't care who you are. Well, you say, I can't afford the tithe, but you do. Well, you say, I can't get along without that 10%, but you will. I want to serve notice on you that God gets what's his, and God said, you haven't given me the Sabbath, I'll just take them all at one time. I'm saying God is going to get what's his, and you go ahead and take God's money and pay for your vacation, and take God's money and pay for your graduation, and take God's money and pay for some clothes in the summertime, and take God's money and use it for yourself, and take God's money and put it, stack it away somewhere. You go ahead, but I'll bind you. God will get more from you by a car wreck or a hospital. I don't care who you are. I can stand the folks tonight in this room who give God the first tenth of every dollar they make. And on this side, I can put the folks who keep it all and don't give God the tithe. And I'll guarantee you that the people that give God the tithe have more food to eat, live in better houses, drive better cars, get along better than the people that rob God. Now, God is not going to bless God robbers. No way. No way. And the tithe is the Lord's, and there's not one single person, I'm talking about saved or unsaved, there's not one single person on the face of this earth that doesn't tithe. Everybody on this earth lives on 90% of his income or less. If you got any sense, you go ahead and give it to God and let God give you credit for it in heaven. And face God, you can say, I voluntarily did it. Instead of God having to take it by some tragic means, you better hear me tonight. God, it's not a light thing. You just sit there with God's money in your pocket tonight. Not a light thing. The tithe is the Lord. And so the Lord said, okay, the Sabbath is mine, and I'll get it. Now, at the time of the rebuilding of the wall around the city, Nehemiah's time, during that time of Nehemiah when they're rebuilding the wall, traitors came from Tyre, T-Y-R-E, up north of the Holy Land. And those traitors came, same place, by the way, Tyre and Sidon tonight, and they came to Israel, and on the Sabbath days, they came to those people who were working on that wall 6 days a week, and they sold them things, and Nehemiah rebuked his people for purchasing things on the Sabbath day from these traitors. Now, bear in mind, the country had not been rebuilt yet. Bear in mind, they didn't have the commodities they needed and so forth. So the folks from Tyre came down and used the fact that the land had been almost uninhabited for 70 years. These folks had just come back. They had not rebuilt their land yet, not rebuilt their city yet. They're just now rebuilding the wall around the city. And so they took advantage of this for money making, and God came along, severely rebuked and severely punished his people because they did not keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was a day of worship, a day of service, a day of rest. It was a day of synagogue, going to the synagogue. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, the Sabbaths were done away with. Hear me carefully now. Hear me carefully. The next 5 minutes of my message will be the most important of the entire message. When Jesus died on the cross, he nailed the Sabbaths to the cross. Bible said that he made a show of them openly. He nailed them to his cross and triumphed over them. Bible says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moons of the Sabbath days, but your shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Jesus nailed the Sabbath to the cross. Now hear me. Hear me carefully. Hear me now. Hear me now. Everybody, hear me. Though Jesus nailed the Sabbath to the cross, and there's no more Sabbath day tonight as the Jews knew it. Now, hear me. God's laws of nature do not change. Hear me now. All that God did was this. God took it as a law and nailed it to the cross. There's no longer a law of the Sabbath. The law of the Sabbath was nailed to Calvary. But the fact that it's no longer a law doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. Young lady, sit up here and listen to me. Hey, young lady. John, stir that right on your right side, John. Right there. Keep her listening to me. I want you to hear what I got to say. If you're going to sleep, go on, go home. But sit up and hear what I got to say. I got the Word of God here, and I'm preaching truth to you, and you ought to hear what I'm saying tonight. Folks, somebody falls asleep while I preach. That's one thing. When you bring a pillow and a blanket, that bothers me a bit. Now listen to me. Just because something was in the law, and the law is no longer valid, doesn't mean God has changed his mind whether it's a good thing or not. You know, we got the strangest idea that because the law was nailed to the cross, there's no need to worry about it anymore. Well, I've got news for you. Thou shalt not kill was in the law. Now, God does not punish people the same way he did when it was a law. But the nature of God does not change. Now hear me. It was a law in the Old Testament that a woman couldn't wear clothing that pertained to a man. But you say that was in the law. No, it was not. But God doesn't change his mind. I mean, God, though it's not a law, and no longer will a woman who wears clothes pertaining to a man, no longer will she be stoned, though most women that do that get stoned every once in a while. But I'm saying, listen, though it is not a law anymore, God still is the same God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. So if God wanted the sexes separated in clothing and in hairstyles 4,000 years ago, God wants the sexes separated in clothing and hairstyles today. And just because Jesus nailed to the cross some things doesn't mean that God still doesn't prefer that we do them. For example, there were some dietary laws, some food laws, and dietary laws in the Old Testament. Now, it was wrong for a Jew to eat certain food. Now, the law has been nailed to Calvary. It has been stamped out of the way, taken out of the way, and nailed to Calvary. But that doesn't mean that food's good for you now. And the truth is, God hadn't changed his mind about healthy food and healthful food. Now, listen, it is no longer a law, but listen, we have things in our nation. Okay, let's see if I can. All right. For a while, it was against the law in America to have capital punishment. Does that mean that people now go out and kill folks and not pay for it? That didn't change what God's preference is. And when Jesus died on the cross, for example, when Jesus died on the cross, catfish didn't all of a sudden get healthy. And the fish that had no scales, which are the scavengers of the sea, did not all of a sudden get sanctified. Listen, God does not change his mind about right and wrong just because a law has been repealed. Now then, let's take the land. There was a law of the Old Testament for the Jew that the Jew had to have 1 year out of seven when his land rested. That's no longer a law. But I'll bind you one thing. I'll bind you that you let the land in America rest 1 year out of seven, and I'll guarantee you that America will have better harvest and better crops than she does now by wearing out the land. We're ruining our land. Ruining it. Why? Because we said, well, we're not in the law. But it so happens it's still a good idea not to covet. It's still a good idea not to steal. It's still a good idea not to kill. And it's still a good idea for a man to give God 1 day out of seven. Not in the law. It's nailed to Calvary.
Now listen. Self-discipline about things not wrong is a good thing. My mother couldn't have shown me one scripture in the Bible why I shouldn't play ball on Sunday. But there is a law of God that one day is the Lord's.
That's not a Bible law. It's the law of nature. There. Listen. It is a law of nature.
Anything that God has made will work better working 6/7 of the time than 7/7 of the time. Also, okay, you go back when your dad disappointed because you played checkers on Sunday. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says, thou shalt not play checkers on Sunday. Nothing in the Bible. But America had some dads that believed something. See, our problem is not what's right, what's wrong. Our problem is we don't believe anything anymore.
I mean, just fool you on everything. No restraint. And brother, it's creeping in. I
read an article just the other day, and you probably did too, Doc.
The fellow said, he said, legalism is that which you have to do in order to be a good Christian in the mind of some.
That's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. Listen, legalism is what everybody has to have until he's old enough and trained enough to do right on his own. Also, in every case, love in the New Testament era is supposed to go beyond the law in the Old Testament era.
I say unto you, it has been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if you look at a woman to lust after her in your own heart, you have committed adultery with her in your heart already. Now, what does it mean? It means that the law of love, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, will take a child of God beyond the legal law of the Old Testament. Take the matter of murder. The Old Testament. Then, if it's said unto you, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, you're not supposed to hate your brother.
Now, you check the entire 5th and 6th chapters of Matthew, and you will find, listen to me, young people, listen to me, you'll find that the New Testament law of love, except your righteousness, said Jesus, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you're in trouble.
And I'll guarantee you one thing, buddy. I'll do more for you because I love you than I will because you make me do it. And the fact that we are in the law of liberty, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, does not mean we do less than the Old Testament. It means if we have love for Him, we'll say, no Old Testament Jew is going to do more under the law than I do because I love Christ.
And love always exceeds the law. It's still a part of God's economy. That one day a week is His. Now, it's not the Sabbath. God went beyond the Sabbath and gave us something better, as He always has in this time, this era. He gave us the Lord's Day.
It is still a part of God's economy that one day a week is His. Listen, the world has found out that 52 days of work less a year is not a subtraction but an addition. America, I'll bind you, I'll guarantee you, America produces less today when our factories run wide open 7 days a week than America produced when I was a kid when everybody closed on Sunday. And I'll bind you another thing, too. Our companies were better off under the blue laws when the stores were not open on Sunday. And then later on, they compromised some, but no store could be open during church time on Sunday. And America produced more, got along better, lived better, when she did wasn't so all fired. Two things, materialistic and pleasure mad. And I'm not talking about the folks outside this building. I'm talking about the folks inside this building. Pleasure man, tonight, right now, people by the thousands and tens of thousands who name the name of Jesus. Traveling on highways, you're in church time. Playing, ball game, picnicking, out of church on Memorial Day weekend. I want to say this, brother, you don't go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, you're not right with God anywhere in the world. No way. Pleasure man. I'm not talking about heathen. I'm talking about choir members. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about deacons. It's a shame and a disgrace in the sight of God Almighty. Nothing sacred anymore.
back in World War II. They took a test, and Brother Biskin approved. They took a test. We had an army. We were conscripting. All of a sudden, we had to have 10 million men in our army or more. We had no barracks, no place for them to live. And all around this nation, army camps sprang up like a prairie fire. They sprang up. Now, they wanted to be sure and get the most built the quickest. They took crews of men and let those men work 7 days a week. They took other crews of men and let them work 6 days a week and not work on Sunday. And, brother, it was scientifically proved that the men that worked 6 days and not on Sunday built more barracks than those that worked 7 days. That's not Bible. That happened in America. When man used to travel by beast, they found that a man could travel 6 days a week by beast and get there before the man did that traveled 7 days a week by the same beast. You know why? Because it was the law of God in the Old Testament. The beast had to rest on the Sabbath too. Everything that God has made needs to rest. Everything that God has made needs diversion. Everything that God has made was made in the economy of God, that one-seventh of it is God's. In the old days when sheep and cattle were driven to the West Coast, some were driven for 7 days and some were driven for 6 days and rested one day. And brother, when they were driven from the East Coast to the West Coast, the cattle that were driven 6 days a week and rested one always got to the West Coast before the cattle that were driven 7 days a week. This is going to shock you. Up in Newfoundland several years ago, they had an experiment about fishing. And they had men fish 7 days a week and men fish 6 days a week. And they proved that, at least in Newfoundland, men that fished the same number of hours a day for 6 days a week caught more fish than the men that fished the same hour for 7 days a week. Something else too. Your car will last longer if you'll park it one day a week. Machinery. Been discovered, been proven. Machinery. That's allowed. There's something else too. You wear those every day and don't let them rest. And they'll wear out faster. All of God's economy is built and all of God's creation is built and all of God's world is built on a law, not a law thou shalt not, but the law of endurance, the law of victory, the law of production, and all of God's law is built. One day is His. I don't care who you are, you're not going to be as happy unless you give God that one day. Locomotives have been tested. Now, I'm not talking about a fundamental preacher to locomotives. I'm talking about engineers have tested locomotives and have found that locomotives will last longer running 6 days a week and be put on the track on the side and be still for the seventh day. They'll last much longer than a locomotive that runs 7 days a week. I'm saying that engines, machinery, cattle, beast, and man all join together and say, one day for God enables each of us to perform better. Salt manufacturers prove that you have more salt if the kettles were allowed to cool one day a week than if they used the kettles 7 days running. Now listen, folks. I'm not here to say that it's a sin for you to play checkers on Sunday. I'm not here to say it's a sin for you to get out in the yard and get a bat and knock a ball across the yard on Sunday. But I am saying, when we thought it was, we had a better country. And I'm saying it's in the law of God's nature. It's in the law of every beast that grazes, every herd of cattle that grazes in the field. It's in the law of man, and because it's in the law of man, it's in the law of all that man touches, and all that man makes, and all that man produces. One day of worship, of rest, of praise, of service, of diversion will cause a better land and a better country. Don't you think we've gone to seed over this thing that the Lord nailed the Sabbath to the cross? Don't you think we've gone too far in the other direction and made Sunday just another day? I put this off for months. But I want to say this. Our people are playing too much on Sunday. Our folks are playing too much ball on Sunday. Our folks are playing too much tennis on Sunday. Our folks are going to too many health clubs on Sunday. I'm going to say this too. I'll just go ahead and say it. There's no way I'd belong to one of those health clubs. No way in the world. No way in the world. No way. I'd get me some barbells and put them in my basement. But brother, the way the world is right now, you just better hang around God's people all the time. You better do it. I mean, Christian people play too much on Sunday. We don't read the Bible enough on Sunday. We don't pray enough on Sunday. We don't meditate enough on Sunday. I can recall when Sundays everything was quiet. I can recall when I can recall when nobody would dare have any kind of athletic contest on Sunday because nobody would show up in America. And then for a long time, they wouldn't dare have it on Sunday night or Sunday morning because the church attendance would hurt it. Now, we may have been a little theologically mixed up. We had a better country. Man, dumb beast, and dead machines cry for one day a week of rest. Every gland, every cell, every fingernail, every creature cries for a Sabbath, and even the Lord Himself rested after His 6 days. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week. You say, Brother, how's exactly what is Sunday? It's the Lord's day. Now follow me carefully. Jesus, hear me carefully. Don't miss this. He went to the cross. He took all the law and nailed it on the cross. Now, it didn't make the law invalid. It didn't mean that it's still best not to do the things that we're supposed to do in the Old Testament. You'll still be healthy if you don't eat catfish. You'll still be healthy if you don't eat shrimp. You'll still be healthier if you don't eat pork. That's not a sin to eat pork. It was to the Jew in the Old Testament against the law. It's not a sin. But you'll be healthy if you don't. And there are a lot of things that the Jew could not do in the Old Testament that God has nailed to Calvary. So He nailed to Calvary the Sabbath. The Bible says it. Nailed to Calvary the Sabbath. And Jesus was in the grave on the Sabbath day. And because the Sabbath was nailed to Calvary, He was our Sabbath. The Sabbath died because Jesus was in the grave. Now, hear me carefully. But on Sunday morning, He decided to get up. And so He got up. And so what happened? He was dead on the Sabbath day and rose on the Lord's day. And so what He did, He nailed one day to a cross took the nails out the next day.
Now, we don't have to do on Sunday what they did on the Old Testament Sabbath. But
the church met the first Sunday that Jesus was raised from the dead. And the next Sunday, they were there again. And both Sundays, Jesus came. He didn't come on the Sabbath.
Now, they came on Sunday. And from that day until this morning, the Church of Jesus Christ has met on Sunday. And every Sunday is a memorial day of the resurrection of our living Lord, and the church is supposed to be open on Sunday, and God's people are supposed to be there.
You have a hard time telling me that Sunday's not a special day. Listen, okay, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Joe Blow, happy birthday to you. Is that a holy day? No, but it's a special day. And if you don't remember birthdays, those you love, you don't love them. No way. You young people, you don't love mom and dad if you forget their birthdays. No way. No way. You say, they don't need anything, but you need to let it go. You need their birthdays.
Now, a birthday is not a holy day, but it's a special day. An anniversary is not a holy day, but it's a special day. And listen, if the anniversary of a marriage is a special day, anniversary of a church is a special day, anniversary of a preacher's ministry is a special day, how much more special should the day on which our Lord was raised from the dead be special?
Sunday is a special day. Not a holy day, but a special day. I want to say this too. You little Easter morning glories. Every Easter you put on your little new outfit and unfold your little petals and stay there happily till 12 o'clock and put your little dollar in the collection plate with your $50 pair of gloves. And you get mad at me because I don't make Easter a big day. First place, the day you choose for Easter is not even close to the day our Lord was raised from the dead. But Sunday is right on the mark. Every Sunday. On the first day of the week, every one of you lay by in store. What does it mean? It means the New Testament church brought their tithes to the church on Sunday. It's the Lord's day. My mother did me a favor when she taught me not to play ball on Sunday. There's no way you get me on a fishing hole on Sunday. No way.
Is it wrong?
I'm a little tired of hearing that. A little tired of hearing everybody just skimping by. Is it wrong? Find everything you can find to do that's even shady. If you can't prove it's wrong, it's okay to do it. That's the silliest thing I ever heard of. There's a heap of stuff not wrong you ought not to do. And by the way, there's a heap of stuff that's not wrong that is not as right as other stuff that could occupy the same time that you're doing that which is not wrong. No way you'd find me in a fishing hole on Sunday. No way. No way you're going to find me on a golf course on Sunday. No way. No way you're going to find me at a ball game on Sunday. No way. No way you're going to find me out playing ball on Sunday. No way. You say, why? It's not wrong. It's not sin. I know it was nailed to the cross. But America used to have some caddy. And by the way, we weren't looking back in those days as to what was not wrong to do. In those days, we found so much right to do on Sunday, we didn't have time to do the other stuff. Not a new story when I tell you about my mama getting a broom after the Catholic priest. He called his name Father Becker. He called his place where they met the St. James Catholic Church, Trinity Heights in Dallas. I was a softball pitcher. It was from the time I was in the fifth grade as a softball pitcher in Catholic, St. James Catholic so-called church, pastored by so-called Father Becker, was playing for the city championship. But they didn't have a good pitcher. And Father Becker came by and asked me on a Sunday afternoon if I'd pitch for them. They were allowed to draft one player that wasn't a Catholic. He said, Jack, would you pitch for us? We need you. because our pitcher is not good enough to win the championship. We know, and if you pitch for us, we can win. 1531 Exeter Street was the house address. My mama said, "Son, who's out there?" And I said, "Father Becker." She said, "Who's Father Becker?" I said, "He's in the St. James so-called Catholic Church." And she said, "What's he want?" And I said, "He wants me to pitch softball for him this afternoon." My mom went to the door and she said, "Mr. Becker," she said, "I think you better leave." Mr. Becker didn't obey. Now the winds and the waves obeyed my mother. And Mama said, "Mr. Becker, I'm giving you one more chance." I said, "Get off that porch. Get off and leave, get in the car and go." Mr. Becker didn't feel led to do so. And my little 100-pound mama went back in the kitchen and got the broom. And she came out swinging. He almost tripped over his skirt. And she chased him all the way to the car. And that isn't all. When he got in the car, she started hitting the car. And she ran down the 1500 block of Exeter Street swinging that broom at that car. And he got that car going faster than she could go. Now, I'm not... You say, "Well, I am." What do you say? I'm just saying that Mama was theologically wrong and morally correct. It's not a holy day. But it's a good idea for Christian people to have a day a week that's God's day. And it's time, and I wait a long time before I'm preached on this, but we just about getting worldly. We are. We getting heathen. We got members of our church come to church on Sunday morning, go fishing all Sunday afternoon, and come back to church on Sunday night. Now, listen, if fishing on Sunday is not wrong, there are a heap of things that are more right to do on Sunday than going fishing. You say of the house, out there on the fishing hole, I can see the beauty of nature and the handiwork of God. Now, don't come at me with all that garbage. You're not out there worshiping, and you know it. If they're biting, you're not thinking about God at all. And if they're not biting, you're dead sure not thinking about God. Don't come at me with that garbage. The beauty of His nature and the beauty of His holiness. Oh, that silliest thing I've heard of in my life. No. Well, I love to worship God and the beauty of His holiness. Yeah, and the can of beer in your hand. Don't you sit there and tell me America didn't have better crops. The rest of the land wants one year or seven. And don't you tell me America didn't rear better kids when the kids were taught that one day was different. And don't you tell me we didn't have better churches when we thought that one day was different. And don't you tell me that when Congress, the Congress of the United States, by the way, I preached at the National Convention of the ACE Friday night down in... Denton, Texas, about, I guess, 7,000 people from all over America, and I preached there. And I walked in, and guess who met me? Governor Whitcomb, who was the governor of Indiana years ago. When he was running for governor, came and sat right over there. And, sir, he met me. And Governor Whitcomb said, "Dr. Powell, I've been looking forward to you coming all week." I said, "Good night, Governor. What you doing here?" And the governor said, "I've been saved." Got up and told that whole crowd how that after he ceased to be governor, somebody got him in a scripture memorization and some soul winner got a hold of him and won him to Christ. Now listen, it was a day. He said, I quote, he said, "Before I started in that Bible memorization," he said, "I was a Bible illiterate." And brother, 95% or 99% of the people that are running the show in Washington, D.C. are Bible illiterate. There was a man who ran for president in the last election. He was not nominated, but he ran for the Republican nomination and called his name. You all know him. He invited me and a half dozen other preachers to come to his home and spend the day. I was too busy preaching in California. I didn't go. I turned him down. But that man, somebody, gave that well-known man who served in the cabinet of our country and has been in the Congress and a governor of one of our big states, and somebody gave him a Bible, and he said, "I didn't even own a Bible." No wonder our country's gone to pot. We used to have a Congress that make it against the law. Open a store on Sunday. My mama did me a favor when she ingrained in me so much that Sunday was a special day. The most important softball game of my life was played on Sunday night for the state championship. And I was the only pitcher we had, and I'm not going to go into the story that you've heard too many times, but a deacon in our church was the manager of our softball team. He went to the game that night. Bless God, deacons ought to be in church. It's a shame, disgrace in the sight of Almighty God for deacons to be laying home watching television on Sunday night or Wednesday night while God's man is preaching. It's a disgrace. He said, I'll quit the deacon board. Boy, that's a good choice. I mean, say, dear God, wherever my television set leads, I'll go. Now listen to me. Why don't you just get right with God then? Instead, and come to church. He said, aren't you afraid your deacons will fire you? Listen, if preaching the truth makes my deacons fire me, I'd be wrong with God not to get fired. It's a disgrace in the sight of God. A deacon was manager of that softball team. He tried to talk me into pitching on Sunday night. And I wrestled with that thing and decided I couldn't go against what Mama taught me. Says the Bible says wrong, the pitch on Sunday night. Ask a question. Ask a question now for a minute. Suppose it's not wrong to pitch softball on Sunday night. Let's don't talk about what's right and wrong. Let's talk about what's right and righter. Which is more right? Go to church or pitch a softball? So though some things are no longer wrong on the Lord's day, that which is not most right is a poor choice, and priorities are all mixed up, and you won't be the Christian you could be if you would go ahead and, because of love for Christ, give God that one day a week of service and rest and refreshment and Bible reading and prayer and meditation. It's not a law of the Bible. It's a law of God's nature. Now, what am I saying? I'll just list a few things. First, close your business on the Lord's day. Just close it. No way. There's no way that a child of God ought to have a business open unless it is a business necessary, like medical, ambulance, nurse. But there's no way a fellow ought to have his car agency open on Sunday. There's no way a fellow ought to have his grocery store open on Sunday. There's no way a Christian ought to have his restaurant open on Sunday. No way a Christian ought to have his mechanic shop open on Sunday. No way. Well, you say, from the house, show me where it's wrong. I can't, but I can show you something more right. You know, I'm not very smart. If I went to a restaurant and had bologna, fried bologna on the same menu where they had New York sirloin strip, same price, I'd order the sirloin strip. It's a shame to eat bologna when you're the same price to get a New York sirloin strip. Mushroom sauce, baked potato, covered with cheese, sour cream, pecan pie. I'm not very smart, but if you can get a pecan pie a la mode for the same price you can get a little peppermint stick for. Well, what's wrong with the peppermint stick? Nothing wrong with peppermint stick. There's something wrong with the guy to take that instead of pie a la mode. What's wrong with bologna? Nothing wrong with bologna. You're full of it if you eat it and have a steak there. It's dumb. Nothing wrong with bologna. There's something wrong with the fellow to take it with the New York sirloin strip right beside him. What's wrong with castor oil? Nothing. But you're a fool to sit there and drink it when you got a chocolate milkshake right there beside it. It's dumb. It's about time God's people decided that we're not going to limit what we do to what's right and wrong, but what's right and righter. It's a matter of priorities. You've got a television show on Sunday night and church going on, and you stay home, you're taking bologna instead of steak.
You go out on a fishing hole or amusement park on a Sunday afternoon. Instead of meditating, taking some time to let your body relax, your mind relax. I can't show you it's wrong, but I can show you where you didn't make the right choice, what's right. Don't work your men on the Lord's Day. No day for sport. No day to buy what you could buy on Saturday. I don't think it's a sin to eat out on Sunday. But I haven't done it since 1949 or 50. I'm not against it. I don't think it's sinful. But sometimes I wonder if it wouldn't be a lot nicer for all the people have to work so we can eat out on Sunday if they had the day off and go to church. I'm not against eating out. Nothing wrong with it. I'm saying this. I'm saying that not a person in this room tonight but what needs to reevaluate the Lord's Day and the kind of character people have who not only just choose right and not choose wrong, but people who have enough sense to choose the proper priorities. It was a wooden building, and it was hot as all get out. I mean, we didn't have 47-47-2. We had 105-105-105. All we had to keep us cool were some hand fans that had the funeral home, local funeral home on the back of it. That's all we had. That's where preachers got the shaking their head. Let me tell you something. They're dodging those fans. And I'll be quite honest with you, that many a sermon preacher preached, I didn't listen to it. And I'm not sure I could tell you, as I said this morning, half a dozen sermons ever preached. And I sat through the most boring Sunday school lessons ever taught by man or beast. I have sat for 30 minutes and listened to some lazy goon read out of a quarterly. Just read it. And three things wrong with it. First, he couldn't read well. Second, it wasn't worth reading. And third, he read it. And I have sung every Sunday in the youth department. Listen, I feel like I know Zacchaeus personally. I've climbed that tree outside Jericho a lot more than he has. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree. I've done that. I have heard, growing up, the most awful musical presentations ever rendered. I mean, I've seen lard rendered better. And I'll tell you what, my preacher was a spitter. And the pulpit was about 6 feet in the front row, and my preacher never stayed behind the pulpit because the building seated only 400. And I had to sit right here. He expectorated on me every Sunday. The Greek word means he spit on me every Sunday. I said, Mama, let me sit on the second row. She said, you sit on the front row. I hold a whole world record for facial spit. And I'll be honest with you. Every time I went to bed on Saturday night, there's a cloud hung over me for a day. I didn't like to go to church, but I went, and 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 I went! And I'd look out the window and see those boys playing ball in the vacant lot, and I'd say, now why can't I play ball in the vacant lot? I'm just sitting in here doing nothing. And I couldn't understand it. But I happened to live in a day when we had some character. And Christians weren't trying to walk just inside the bounded line of wrong. Now, I'm not saying
that you ought to repent tonight of a lot of sin. I do think you ought to repent of a lot of poor priorities. Father, bless the message. I'm not sure what I'm shooting at tonight. Maybe I'm shooting at character. Maybe I'm just a little homesick for a nation I used to know.